the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team.
Well, deciding when to retire and where to retire are some big decisions. What we're starting to see is a new trend. A growing number of Americans are deciding to retire overseas for a number of reasons. The pace of living is much slower, the medical facilities are excellent, but more important, the cost of living is so much cheaper. Joining us on the program from International Living is Dan Prescher. Dan, I want to talk about one country in particular that you have highlighted. And one of the reasons that I want to talk about this country is we have several of our own clients who are living there. Let's talk about Costa Rica, the world's best retirement haven for 2018.
Yeah, it topped the 2018 Global Retirement Index at International Living. It's always in the top three or four, but for 2018, it just had so much going for it that it won out by a minuscule fraction over the other top countries, but it ended up on top this year.
Dan, what makes this in the top five and what makes it number one for this year? Describe why it is so popular and at the top of your list.
Well, it just has almost everything going for it. The weather is extraordinary. It's a beautiful country. They got rid of their army, I think, in 1948. Very stable democracy. Excellent healthcare system. A big part of their economy is tourism and ecotourism in particular. A large part of the country is devoted to national parks. It just has everything going for it, and it's very affordable to live in. So all of those things put together put it on top this year.
Dan, what makes the country so affordable? I mean, you talk about they have excellent medical facilities. I just about dropped when you mentioned that, you know, you can live down there for about $2,000 a month, a single person, $1,400 to $1,700. Doctor visits are only $60, maybe $80 for a specialist. I mean, that's just incredible. Why so cheap?
Well, that's true throughout most of Latin America and, truth be told, Southeast Asia. And also, almost any country with a national healthcare system will have affordable healthcare, which makes imagine the effect that has on your general cost of living. Add in the fact that labor costs throughout much of Latin America and Costa Rica are lower than they are in the United States. And the fact that the weather is so nice that your utility bill is usually a fraction of what it is in the United States. That all adds up to a much lower monthly budget than a comparable lifestyle in the United States for the same kind of weather, the same kind of healthcare. Apples to apples, it's just an incredible bargain. And that's true throughout much of Latin America and Southeast Asia, not just Costa Rica, but Costa Rica benefits from that too. That being said, Costa Rica is not the cheapest place in Central or South America to retire. There are cheaper places. But for overall value, bang for buck, all of those other things thrown into the mix, it's an incredible value.
When you take a look at, you think of South America, you think of, you know, some of the problems that they're having in Venezuela, Argentina. What makes Costa Rica so stable?
Well, I mentioned that they got rid of their standing army in 1948. They just went through a terrible civil war, never wanted to do that again. So they just don't pick fights with anybody. They're concerned with maintaining their environment as nicely as they can. They're very near a goal of getting 100% of their energy from renewable resources instead of burning fossil fuels. They're dependent on tourism and ecotourism, so it behooves them to maintain a stable economy and a stable government, because if the tourists aren't willing to go there, that takes the guts out of your economy if you're a tourism-based economy. And it's just a very peaceful place. I mean, the character of the Costa Rican people is cooperative, non-confrontational, and just pleasant to get along with. It's like the biggest small town in Central America. It really, really works. And I don't know how else to explain it. It's just a very comfortable, very welcoming place. I mean, the national motto, the unofficial national motto is Pura Vida, which means pure life. And the Costa Ricans will say this for hello, goodbye, you betcha, good idea, I'm on board with that. They'll use Pura Vida for almost anything positive that they want to express. That gives you an idea of what the culture is like there in the country.
Some of the numbers that you put out for the cost of living just absolutely floored me. For example, you can rent a 2-bedroom home for $500 a month. And the one that really got me, you can buy an ocean view property for under $200,000. In California, that probably wouldn't buy you a garage.
That's right. And of course, you know, you can spend as much or as little money in Costa Rica as you want. That's true of anywhere you live. But the relative values there are extraordinary. And it depends, again, on where in Costa Rica you want to settle. It has miles and miles of Pacific coastline, Atlantic coastline. The Central Valley, where the weather is absolutely perfect, has many different regions and zones. So depending on what you want and what your lifestyle is, how much or how little you want to spend on entertainment, cultural activities, travel, you can do really well if you pick an affordable place in Costa Rica to live.
Now, what about property rights? If you're an American, let's say you wanted to buy that beachfront property for a couple $100,000, do you have clear property rights to that title?
You do indeed. And that's true throughout most of Latin America. That's a common misconception that is left over from years and years ago. These are fee simple titles that you can get. You have all the rights and obligations of a local property owner when you buy property there. There are some restrictions on how close to the beach you can get. Most of the beach in Costa Rica is public property reserved for the citizenry in general. So you can't just go down and put up a shack on the beach in the tidal zone. You have to be back a certain distance. But once you meet those requirements, your rights and obligations are just the same as any other property owner in Costa Rica.
What about some of the issues like crime that we see in, you know, many cities around the world, even here in the U.S.? What about crime down there?
Crime is everywhere because humans are everywhere, and there's really no getting around that. But crime usually follows opportunity and money, and the crime that there is in Costa Rica is usually crimes of opportunity. People who don't take care of their stuff, who leave their houses open, who park their cars with the doors unlocked. There is poverty throughout much of the world, and Costa Rica is no different. There are people who, compared to Americans, North Americans, are relatively poor. And when they see a North American who doesn't care enough about their stereo or their big screen TV or their laptop computer to keep it secure, they'll take it. I mean, that's just the nature, that's just human nature anywhere in the world. But major crime, very low in Costa Rica. Kidnappings, almost unheard of. Compared to a lot of other places in Latin America, Costa Rica is just very safe and welcoming. But you have to take the same precautions you take anywhere in the world. You're not moving away from poverty or crime in Costa Rica. You're just moving to a place where they're much, much lower.
I want to talk about medical because for many retirees, the statistics that we use here, a husband and wife, age 65, could spend anywhere from $250,000 to $260,000 out of pocket. Let's talk about the medical facilities down there, the state of the art, the ease of getting in to see a doctor. And what role does Medicare play if you are 65 and older in Costa Rica?
Medicare can't be used outside the United States right now. That's something that a lot of expats would like to see change. And a lot of foreign countries would like to see that change too, because as you say, Costa Rica, along with a lot of other Latin American countries, has some top-notch medical facilities. You can't use your Medicare in any of those facilities right now. That being said, the out-of-pocket costs are so comparatively low compared to the United States that often people won't avail of insurance to get minor surgical procedures done, to doctor visits, dental visits, glasses, things like that are affordable enough to pay for out of pocket. And again, like most of the rest of the world, Costa Rica has a national healthcare system, and alongside that is a private healthcare system. You can avail of either or both of those systems if you're a resident of Costa Rica. And that allows you to get the best of both worlds, to have a national healthcare system that for a very low cost will cover you for major medical expenses, for catastrophic medical expenses, and a private healthcare system where for regular insurance costs or out-of-pocket costs, you can take care of anything else you want, including cosmetic surgery, including major dental operations, if you like. So compared to the United States, you have a cornucopia of healthcare choices and insurance choices in Costa Rica, as you do in most of the rest of the world.
Dan, how easy is it to go down there and set up residency? Is there a lot of paperwork? Besides having a passport, what other things are necessary if you decide that's where you want to live?
Well, you'll have to get one of the visas if you want to stay there for any length of time on anything but a tourist visa. A tourist visa will get you there long enough to get a feel for the place. Then you'll have to get a temporary visa, and there are three different kinds of those. You can get it for purchasing property or investing in the country or for showing enough retirement income from pensions, Social Security, annuities, however you want to cobble that together. All three of those temporary visas are the first step to getting a resident visa, which opens up all of the benefits of the healthcare system and everything else in Costa Rica to you. Bureaucracy is the same all over the world, and you can't sugarcoat it. It takes some paperwork and some time to get this stuff done. But Costa Rica is very used to having North Americans come down and accomplish these things. So there are people whose business it is specifically to shepherd you through this. You can do it yourself. I don't know anybody who would. To me, that would be kind of like removing your own molar. There are professionals I'd just as soon have do that for me. And the same is the case with dealing with the bureaucracy in Costa Rica. Use a professional to do it, and it will just smooth the path for you.
We were talking just before we went on the air. I had a client who worked in the biotech industry, was a millionaire, but he was back in Massachusetts. And they've been living in Costa Rica now 4 or 5 years. And he said, Jim, I really do feel like a millionaire down here. I mean, when you take a look at the cost of living and everything else. Dan, what about the currency in Costa Rica?
The currency is not pegged to the U.S. dollar, and it fluctuates. You caught me flat-footed. I don't know what the current exchange rate is right now. But to exchange currency is no problem. In fact, most places in Costa Rica happily accept U.S. dollars. It's that popular a tourist destination. As usual in Latin America and Southeast Asia, if you go to an ATM machine, you will get the most current exchange rate that day or close to it. So hotels will naturally charge you a little vig on the exchange rate. You'll lose a little bit of money if you do it at an exchange house. But ATMs are widely available. Almost everybody has a U.S. bank card that will work in some system that's available in Costa Rica. So getting the local currency is no problem at the current exchange rate, or spending dollars. You can just go down there with dollars and spend those.
So, Dan, the currency, as far as you know, has been fairly stable. I'm not familiar with the currency down there because one of the aspects of retirees that are living on fixed income, if you had wild currency fluctuations, that would make your living a little bit less dependable.
It would. And there are places in the world where you really have to worry about that. Fortunately, the U.S. dollar has been so strong for the past couple of years that it's really faring well against most Latin American currencies. And the Costa Rican colón is one of them. I just pulled up the current exchange rate, and right now is 567 or 68 colones to the U.S. dollar. So you have to get used to dealing with big numbers, and having a calculator with you is very helpful, but it doesn't swing that much. And usually, as I say, in the past couple of years, with the strengthening of the U.S. dollar, you're usually on the right side of any fluctuations that happen throughout most of Latin America. Certainly with the Costa Rican colón, certainly with the Mexican peso, you're on the right side of that exchange rate, and have been for a while.
I want to go to another article you recently just listed in your publication. It's called The 5 Best Places to Retire on $30,000 a Year. Now, that's got to be music to many of our listeners to this program. When you think of $30,000 a year from the expenses of filling a tank of gas, groceries, healthcare premiums, or just the cost of renting a home or owning a home, let's talk about those places because they range from Europe to Latin America, as we just discussed, in Costa Rica, to actually Southeast Asia.
And you'll notice that most of these places are places with decent-sized metropolitan areas close by. Mafra, Portugal is one. Portugal is just a tremendous deal compared to European countries and compared to most countries in the world to begin with. I think we have a monthly budget there in Portugal of $2,034 a month. Cuenca, Ecuador has always been a great deal. Ecuador is probably the country in South America with the greatest bang for buck. And Cuenca is one of the most thriving popular cities for expats there. That you'll notice on the list is the Central Valley of Costa Rica. There are so many places you can settle in the Central Valley, so many choices you have of small town, big city, countryside, that you can pick a place where the cost of living is incredibly affordable and falls well below that $30,000 a year threshold. Petosi, Panama. Panama is another one of those places that's had North Americans coming down for years and years. So they're used to having North Americans come down. They're used to using they actually use the US dollar as their currency. And Petosi is now on the radar. It's an up and coming place. Beautiful weather and beautiful beachfront. And of course, Southeast Asia, you can't leave those guys out. Cambodia, Phnom Penh, beautiful city, extremely low cost of living, a little farther afield than a lot of North Americans want to go. But if you have an adventurous spirit and want a really exotic culture, you can't do better than Southeast Asia. And Phnom Penh, Cambodia is one of the most fascinating cities on the planet. It's just a beautiful place and very affordable. So that's how those five cities and five general areas got on our list.
And when you look at all of these areas, I noticed that in your top five, a number of them were in South America. As you look around the globe, whether you're looking at Europe, looking at Asia, or Latin America, it seems like Latin America has more multiple locations. You mentioned Panama, Ecuador, Costa Rica. It seems like there are numerous places down there. What about Chile?
Chile is definitely on the radar. It's a little farther south than some North Americans want to go. The cost of living is a little higher, and it has definite four-season weather. For a lot of North Americans who never want to shovel snow again, who never want to wear even a sweater again, Chile's a little far south, as is the southern part of Argentina. But both are beautiful places, both very affordable places to live. That being said, they don't have the expat communities. They don't have that lovely tropical weather that a lot of North Americans are looking for. And they're a little harder to get back to the United States. I mentioned that Southeast Asia isn't as high on the North American retiree radar because it can take some flips and twists to get back. And a lot of us have family back home. We need to get back home for birthdays, weddings, emergencies, medical care, if we do want to take advantage of our Medicare. So Mexico, Central America, the northern tier of South America all fit the bill for being very convenient to get back and forth from. Chile, just a little farther south than a lot of people are comfortable with. Southern part of Argentina, same kind of stories with Southeast Asia.
So when you're looking at these kind of facilities, in fact, one of the things my client in Costa Rica mentioned to me that they liked it, they had to come back for a graduation. And, you know, from Costa Rica flying here to California, it's not that much of a trip versus, let's say, if you were in Cambodia, I mean, that's what, 13, 18 hours?
Yeah. For a lot of North Americans, that's a deal breaker. And my wife, Susan, and I now have a granddaughter in the States. We happily lived in Ecuador for 7-8 years in a little village up in the mountains north of the capital of Quito. But because now we want to get back and see our granddaughter more, we relocated to Mexico. Where we plan to settle in Mexico is an hour and a half, 2 hours, maybe 2.5 hours back to the United States. And that convenience, that logistical ease is something that a lot of North Americans want in their retirement years, especially if they have, like you say, family back home or special events to get back to. Another reason Latin America is so popular with North American retirees, logistically, it's easy.
You know, you're bringing up an issue that is becoming more and more part of planning for retirement. A lot of individuals, especially the baby boomers, Dan, have reached their retirement age and they didn't have the assets they thought they were going to have. The defined benefit pension plans went away. And then, of course, we had two bear markets. So one aspect of planning is you might move from an expensive area like, let's say, California or on the East Coast, New Jersey, New York. And they've been thinking, you know, moving to Florida, moving to Arizona, Nevada, places where the cost of living is cheaper. But you're bringing up something that fits right in there, and that's international places to live. Are you seeing a trend in your publication and also viewership, people that are now considering this as a very viable option in retirement?
Oh, absolutely. And the internet has changed everything about it. There were always people who saw the sense of, we kind of call it economic arbitrage. If you can't afford to live where you currently are and you can move tomorrow to someplace where your cost of living is half that, you've doubled the value of your resources. And that's kind of an arbitrage play, that the value of that is hard to discount. Now with the internet, when people back in the States can get on Facebook or get on some of the bulletin boards and talk in real time to people who've made that move and find out how they made it, how they're faring in their new locations, what the benefits are, what the drawbacks are, how to meet those challenges, the idea has snowballed. It's more popular than it ever has been before. I expect that it will get even more popular because I don't see the healthcare situation in the United States settling out or becoming any more affordable anytime soon. I don't know anybody who knows what is even going to happen with healthcare after retirement in the United States. I don't see the circumstances that make moving to a more affordable place changing anytime soon. I only see them getting more compelling. And if you can get on the internet and research those options, like you say, it's just like researching the option of going to Arizona or Florida or South Texas. It's just a little farther south or east or west. You just have to think outside the box.
Dan, if somebody was considering moving to, let's say, a place outside the United States, whether it's Costa Rica, Portugal, or even Asia, are there any steps or like step 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 that people should consider that are must-dos before they make these kind of decisions or things that they need to know?
Obviously, you have to do all the research you possibly can. And the internet makes that very easy. I mean, internationalliving.com went on the internet as soon as we could to put our magazine there, to put our newsletters there. It's accessible to everybody. And there are dozens of places with that kind of information now. The second step is to profile yourself ruthlessly and find out if you're made to go overseas. Many people are not. Leaving your comfort zone is a big decision. If there are things in your life that make your life worthwhile and you can only get them where you live right now, moving away from those things is not going to make you happy. So decide what you can and can't do without. Find out if those things are available where you want to live or if there are workarounds. And if you're the kind of person that likes the challenge of finding those workarounds and making life in a different culture work for you. Then go to the places that you're thinking about and spend as much time on the ground there as you can to find out what it's really like to live there. There's a huge difference between vacationing somewhere and actually trying to get your mail there, get a phone line connected, get your utilities hooked up, find out where the best bank is, find a good hardware store. All of those things are only things that time gives you insight to. So try to spend as much time on the ground in a place before you actually pull the trigger. And that may mean renting before buying a place. Even though real estate is very affordable, you'll want to rent for a good long time before you make a buying decision, just to make sure you're in the right neighborhood. To make sure that you've got the best deal that you possibly can. So all of those things together, research, profiling yourself, trying before you buy, those are the big steps that you want to go through before you make that decision.
How about, is there anything legal that a person should be made aware of? Estate documents, you talk about visas in the country, anything else?
Well, of course, you'll want your passport to be as current and have as much time on it as possible. There are a lot of places that won't let you in the country if you don't have at least 6 months of headroom on your passport. So get that renewed as soon as possible. Other than that, you will want to make sure that you have a good visa resource in the country when you get there. And especially for US citizens, don't forget that you don't move away from your obligation to file taxes. No matter where you live on the planet, if you're still a U.S. citizen and moving out of the United States doesn't end your citizenship, you'll still be a citizen, you'll still have to at least file your federal U.S. taxes. That your obligation to do that is not relieved by being a resident of another country. You're still a U.S. citizen unless you specifically renounce citizenship. And I don't know anybody who's done that, and I don't know anybody who, in my experience, would benefit by doing that. The U.S. passport is still the most widely accepted and easiest one to carry on the planet. And I love America. If I could afford to live there, I still would. And, you know, I may go back someday. So I'm not giving up my U.S. citizenship. I love the place.
And another recommendation, at least our Costa Rica client, they moved down to Florida first, domiciled in a state where you don't have to file a tax return, mm-hmm. which makes it easier. So as you pointed out, Dan, even though you're living in Costa Rica, you still have to file a federal, but why not get rid of the state? At least that makes life less complicated. Dan, as we close, one good spot to really research and kind of open your eyes to different aspects about living abroad is your publication. Tell our listeners about it as we close.
We've been publishing for more than 30 years. I think it's 37 years now. We were kind of the original live like a king for pennies a day guys. 35, 37 years ago, it was not a common thing to move abroad and swing on a hammock on a beach and spend pennies a day and live the life of Riley. Now, everybody knows that you can do that. And there are dozens of places around the globe where that's possible. Knowing how to do it, knowing where to look, knowing those steps to do your research, to profile yourself, all of that stuff is what we specialize in now. The magazine comes out once a month. It's grown to a big, full-color, glossy magazine. And I know a lot of people who may never move abroad get that magazine once a month just so they can see what their options are and dream the dream of having their toes in the sand, swinging on a hammock. It's a beautiful publication. I get it myself. I heartily recommend it to everybody, but then I would because I write for it.
Well, it's another place too, even if you don't want to live abroad, just to find places to go travel and vacation to. So great aspect there.
All the options are there. You bet.
All right. Well, listen, Dan, thanks for joining us on Lifetime Income. Great report. And for many Americans who are looking at retiring and keeping their cost of living down, living abroad is a possible solution. Dan, thanks so much for your time.
My pleasure, Jim. Thank you for having me.
You bet. That concludes my interview with Dan Presser from International Living. I highly recommend the publication, especially, you know, even if you don't want to go live overseas, just looking at places to travel. Costa Rica, Ecuador, number of places down there. And I'm seeing this more and more with our own clientele as people live in expensive places like New Jersey, New York, here in California. They're looking for alternatives when they retire. A lot of individuals are looking at places like Texas, Florida, Nevada, Arizona, places that are less costly than, let's say, the East and West Coast. But one possibility, and could be adventuresome, is living overseas. I'm Jim Poplava. Thanks for listening.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertised with Financial Sense, or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.